Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
They're on a social mission to help Singaporean families make the best financial decisions so they can live well and retire well. They're a joint venture between NTUC Enterprise and Provident, two homegrown companies. And you can rest assured that their advisors are non-commissioned and fully salaried. So these advisors have no incentives to sell you expensive products you don't need just so they can make a commission. We're going to find out more about Money Owl. They're an NTUC social enterprise. What are some of their thoughts on how you can manage your wealth and grow it even during a pandemic? Chun Ting Weber is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Money Owl. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Michelle.
Great to have you with us. Help us understand. I understand that, you know, Singaporeans have been worried about money even before the pandemic. So I imagine the pandemic has made those worries even greater.
That's right. I mean, money is a common thread that runs through so many aspects of our life.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's really about how, and it's so personal, you know, it's about how we want to live our lives. And sometimes there is a lack of money. Sometimes there is about we don't know how to manage it, how to optimize it. And we think about the future as well. When we no longer earn money, how are we going to retire? So I think there's always been a bewildering journey, and financial advisors have always been trying to help people to get on top of this. But of course, the pandemic has underscored some of these gaps in Singaporeans' financial management.
Yeah, let's talk about some of these gaps. I was reading 4 in 10 Singaporeans constantly worried about their finances. So I can imagine with the, you know, recession and the wage cuts for some, or some even losing their jobs, this has made the situation worse. What were some of the, I suppose, gaps in money, good money habits that you guys over at Money Owl were noticing even before the pandemic?
Yes, Michelle, I think from the time we started serving clients, we saw some common themes. Actually, Singapore is a kind of financial hub, and there are many financial innovations and products over the past, say, 5-10 years. And I think that's actually reflective of the interest in the markets about products, you know, and about financials. But that could be problematic as well, because when we talk about financial management, many people think immediately about saving products, investment products, insurance policies. Mm-hmm. And this is probably how the financial industry has been going about providing financial advice. But a better way, a better habit, is actually not to be addicted to chasing the best products, but to view, you know, financial management really comprehensively. You know, do a comprehensive plan and take the actions in the right order. So what do I mean? So financial management actually starts, Michelle, first with a foundation of good financial health. Before we make any investments, we need to do some of those things that you mentioned. We need to do a budget, keep our expenses low, control our debt levels, and save towards an emergency fund. Now, these sound really boring, right? Not like investments and all that. But without good financial health, you cannot run the marathon of investing. And I can explain more. But then, well, this is very real, because I think it was in June when OCBC came out with a survey that showed 2 in 3 Singaporeans do not have 6 months worth of expenses set aside in savings to tide them over a crisis. So imagine if you had started investing before setting aside this emergency fund, and something happened to your job. You might actually be forced to liquidate your investments, and the markets are down. You actually make a loss, and there goes your investment plan, your accumulation plan. So that's why we need to view things holistically. A second, a close second, or almost equal, is actually alongside financial health, you need to protect your income against life risks such as death, disability, medical crisis. Because we need to recognize that your most important financial asset is not actually your house or your investments, it's actually yourself, your ability to generate the income from which we can save and invest. Now, this gap here, or the protection gap, is interesting, because Singaporeans spend a lot of money on insurance, but we're still underprotected, probably because we've been sold unsuitable and expensive insurance products. So that's, but that's actually not necessary. So at Money Hour, we always advocate term insurance and fit-for-purpose products. So the idea is to buy as much protection as you need, but pay as little as you can. So I think these are some of the gaps that we see in the financial management habits. Yeah.
Did it surprise you to read 2 in 3 working Singaporeans don't have that emergency fund beyond 6 months if they lose their jobs? And what do you think? Is that a good benchmark for listeners listening in? You should save at least 6 months to have that EF emergency fund.
Yes, we do recommend 6 months. I mean, the absolute minimum is 3, and sometimes it depends on your situation. So that's why, in a sense, financial planning is very personal. So, I mean, if you have a very stable job, let's say in the civil service or something like that, and you have very high income, but your expenses are low, then you do still save about maybe 3 or 4 months of those expenses. But if your income is a little bit more volatile, then in that sense, I think maybe you might need to save a little bit more. But generally, about 6 months is good. Anything more than 12, we tend to think it's a bit excessive because you're not actually, you may not be able to reach your goals by earning just the savings bank rate, which, by the way, nowadays is almost zero. Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Okay, so when it came to insurance, you say Money Owl advocates term insurance. Can you just differentiate that from the other sorts of insurance out there?
Sure. I think that the concept of insurance is very important.
Yes?
Hi? Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Got cut off there. Yeah. The insurance is primarily for protection. And so what we must recognize what we're protecting against. And the most important thing is to protect against the loss of income. Because if should death hit and your family depends on your income, then actually they would suffer financially besides emotionally from losing you. If you get hit by a medical crisis, you need to make sure you can pay those medical bills as well as to supplement your income if you need to, or rather replace your income if you need to take a break. Or if disability causes you not to be able to work, then you need to have that income replacement. So because we're talking about income replacement, you actually only need that insurance only insofar as you have an income to protect. Right? So that's why you say term insurance that covers you, say, until your retirement age or until your last dependent becomes independent, should actually be suffice. You don't actually need to protect yourself for your whole life. And that is the concept of insurance being for protection only. And the premiums for term insurance are actually very, very affordable compared to whole life insurance, because in whole life insurance, what you're actually doing is that out of $1, you're actually giving 20 cents to buy the protection and 80 cents or so to the insurance company for you, for them to invest for you, and then you sort of get back the money, right? So there's sometimes this misconception that insurance is actually a two-in-one or whatever. It can be structured that way, but it's not really the best way to save. Even if you have a low risk appetite, there are many instruments out there that can give you a better return as well.
All right. So Singaporeans listening in might be thinking, I am one of those 4 in 10 constantly worrying about my finances. I'm worried about not having a job come up. So what can I do right now, given this economic environment? Where is a good place to start?
Yeah, I mean, if you have not enough right now, what you need to do is to do a financial health check. So for Money Hour, when we do comprehensive financial planning, this is the first thing that we do. But you can also go to, say, Money Sense website and do a financial health check. So what do you check on? The 6 months emergency fund is one of the major ones. The other things are your debt levels. So what can you practically do? Well, really, it's just about income minus expenses, right? So what you need to do, firstly, to take a hard look at your income. Is there anything, if you still have the income, is there anything you can do to make sure that you continue to have that job? And this is actually boring stuff, you know, make sure you're very good at it as far as possible so that you can keep your job. If you can't, then can you take a second one to supplement your income and all that? On the expenses side, you really need to take a good look at your budget. Sometimes, you know, a crisis is a good time to take a hard look at what you really need and what you don't need, especially among your variable expenses. And you could restructure also some of the, maybe your insurance. You know, if you have, you can take a look and see, but of course with caution, because we don't want you to lose coverage, and see whether there's a cheaper way of doing it. And maybe sometimes you might have to take different kind of activities, you know, for maybe instead of individual tuition for the children. I mean, I know we don't like it, but, you know, we could consider group tuition. So these are actually very, very practical tips. And actually in Emmanuel, we recently rolled up a series of financial resilience workshops, which are for free, that you can sign up for on our website. And we have held one, and you can come and join this workshop. And our financial literacy trainers, who are all certified financial planners, they can go through some of these tips and you know, about debt management and where to get help and all that as well.
Yeah, people might be daunted by the idea of heading to a financial planner if they don't feel that they've got they're financially healthy. But actually, you can think about it like visiting a clinic, a free clinic, you know? It's a great place to start to get your health in order, financial health, do that checkup and get some great advice because these workshops are free. You also help people invest. I see on your site you can help people invest from as little as $50 a month.
That's right, $100, one lump sum to start. And we also, as part of the a series of initiatives that we rolled out, we have also reduced the fees and absorbed some of the platform fees so that we can make it affordable for people, especially during these difficult times. So actually, for the first $10,000 that you invest, we don't actually, it's actually being managed for free, for example. So we really want to help the small investors, you know, because you're NTUC social enterprise, so you don't think that you need to be a millionaire to, you know, live a good life and to be prepared for the future.
So I understand you've reduced your investment advisory fees and you absorb platform fees. Is this across the board? What does this pertain to?
Yeah. So in terms of investment fees, so previously clients would pay a flat per annum fee of 0.65% to Money Hour as an advisory fee, or is sometimes called the wrap fee. Right? And then to the platform provider, in our case is iFast, you have to pay 0.18% to the platform provider. So now we fully absorb this 0.18% platform fee. And like I said, for the first 10,000, we manage for free. The subsequent amounts up to $100,000, the fee is just 0.6%. And for amounts above $100,000, the fee is 0.5%. So all in, this is a good 30-40% fee reduction that we have put forward, and we are probably one of the most affordable advisory options for investors now, especially small investors.
So from 1st of October yesterday, we saw the removal of the sales charge and the reduction of the wrap fees for the CPF investment scheme. So it's now zero sales charge. It's been wiped out. 0.4% of wrap fees, that's down from the previous 0.7% of AUM per annum. Do you offer CPFIS products? What do you think this means first up, the changes in the charges and the wrap fees cap for investors who want to use their CPF funds?
Yeah, I think for Money Hour, we have not yet offered CPF investments scheme, but we'll be looking to do so probably in the first quarter of next year, once the funds that we use in our portfolios are approved. Now, so for the sales charge, I mean, I was never charged a sales charge, so we don't think that is the best way to compensate advisors. So on the so it's a positive thing in terms of reducing some of the big lump sum charges in the case of sales charge. And on the wrap fee as well, I guess on the changes should be good. But I sort of want to caveat this because it should theoretically reduce the cost of investing one CPF because it reduces the direct fees paid to advisors. But if I may say, it's not really so straightforward because reducing wrap fees can mean that there is less incentive for advisors to use low-cost funds that do not pay trailer commissions to the advisors. In a Business Times article on, I think, Tuesday, we read how some fund houses are actually increasing the trailer commissions paid to advisors to make up for the wrap fee income loss from this policy change. Yeah, so it is really, because this affects clients who use advisory services, so there might be this inadvertent effect. I think the more important question, Michelle, when considering whether to invest your CPF is whether it's suitable for you in the first place, especially during this time, because just because something is cheap doesn't mean that we should go out and do it, right? So maybe some pointers for listeners to consider. First, please do not invest your CPF special account money. So at Money Hour, we are quite firm on this, that, you know, because at 4 to 5% risk-free, it is not worth taking the risk in the markets. So keep your special account money and let it compound towards your retirement sum. So once again, we say do not invest from the CPF SA. As for the CPF ordinary account, it pays 2.5% interest. And yes, if you do it correctly, you can get a higher long-term return. But there are some conditions. You must invest in low-cost, globally diversified funds that do not time the market. And you must be able to stay invested over the long term. But another key consideration, which has nothing really to do with investing, but everything to do with financial management, is that you may wish to keep your CPF ordinary account as a buffer to pay your monthly mortgage during uncertain economic times like this one, in case you lose your job or suffer your pay cut. Because when that happens, or if that happens, cash becomes very precious. And when cash becomes precious, you want to save, conserve cash for your daily expenses, your CPF can come in useful then, like an emergency fund to pay your monthly mortgage. So if there's all this risk, then it is not worthwhile chasing the extra return, because it might turn out again that you might be forced to liquidate at a loss if you need those funds to pay your mortgage. So I guess this is an example of what I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, that there is much more to financial management than just, say, investing or getting the product. Yeah, and in fact, when it comes to financial wellness and peace of mind, it really best starts from a comprehensive approach.
Oh, I feel so great now that I have that money owl on my shoulder looking out for me. Thanks for joining us this morning, Chin Ting. Those were great, great pointers. Great speaking with you.
Thanks, Michelle.
She's Chin Ting Weber, Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Money Owl, joining us here on Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.